Thank you for tuning in to Vine Life with host Janine Davis, with special guest, youth pastor of Ignite Ministries, Pastor Jason Williams.
Good morning. Welcome to Vine Life Connection. I'm your host, Janine Davis, and we are here with Pastor Jason Williams. We are doing part two of youth ministry is what we're discussing today. And we were talking about the struggle for teenagers. What would you say are some of the biggest struggles? I know, Pastor Jason, that you hear about so many different struggles that our youth is having. So why don't we just kind of talk about that?
Okay. Yeah, I know, you know, whether it's parents that are listening and they have teenagers that are struggling, or I think a lot of this stuff, it doesn't end just when we're not a teenager anymore. Some of these things, these are some root issues in our life. And it's, again, one of those things that, you know, we have legitimate needs that God's given us, but unfortunately, a lot of times we go out and try to find or try to meet those needs in illegitimate ways. I mean, you got teenagers, you know, that we stereotype and say, oh, they're dressing gothic or whatever, or they're just wanting attention or whatever. But yet we have teenagers that are striving and, you know, starving for attention, and they're doing other things, you know, whether they're acting out, getting in trouble, or even the ones that are going to trying to get straight A's. They're wanting attention. They're trying to be great in athletics and, you know, be that sports guy or whatever. They're trying to find their identity or their approval from their friends or from their parents and whatever it is. I mean, because that's just all of us. We want to be, you know, we want to be appreciated. We want to be loved. We want to be accepted. And that's, you know, those are God-given things. But unfortunately, we try to find our value in other things. One thing we did with the teenagers even just last night that we try to do on a regular basis is really challenge them about where they're finding their identity and where they're finding their purpose and who they are. So basically, you know, one of the things that we talk to them about is, what does God's word say? You know, because you're getting a lot of other people that are telling you who you are or who you aren't. So it's important for you to realize. And we do a message basically kind of called Who's Your Daddy? Based off Galatians 4:6 that says, you know, because you're his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So obviously, who's your daddy? I mean, we're talking about our Heavenly Father. And that's so crucial. And we'll go through this, some of the Bible verses, you know, because you are in Jesus. You know, every one of these statements that the Bible says about you is true. You know, so you go through, you know, I am loved based on, you know, 1 John 3:3, or I am accepted, Ephesians 1:6. I mean, just those two alone. I mean, if we could really grasp that revelation that we are loved and we are accepted, I mean, that changes your whole outlook on life.
Can I interject right here? I want, because, you know, who's your daddy? I've heard, you know, I'm from Youngstown, Ohio, okay, and there's a lot of gangs. You know, the city is infested with gangs, and, you know, that's one of the things, you know, the gang leaders are saying, I'm your daddy. I'm your new family. And so, you know, do you think that a lot of these kids and these youth, they are wanting a strong sense of family, even if they, you know, are not doing it the way that they should? They're turning to gangs and different other little organizations and things because they want that sense of security.
Yeah, definitely. We even talk about that on the GodIgniteMe.org website with our student ministry, that so many teenagers get involved in gangs because they're wanting a place, you know, like that old Cheers TV show that the song goes about, you know, you want to go to a place where everybody knows your name. I mean, all of us want to feel a part of something. All of us want to belong. And if we're not getting it in the home, if we're not getting it at a church, we're going to find it somewhere else. And there's lots of other people that are offering that. It may be a polluted, perverted view of it, but we're still trying to find that. We're still trying to belong. We're still trying to find, okay, who am I? So in the midst of all that of who I am, you know, obviously we have to find our identity in God. So like I was saying with that, you know, I am loved and I am accepted. Man, once we grasp that and that really becomes a revelation in our heart, that changes how we view ourselves, how we view others, you know, the things that we do and the things we don't do. Because you're not trying to please. You're not a man pleaser anymore. When you know that I am loved and accepted by my Heavenly Father, it doesn't matter who rejects me, who doesn't accept me, because my foundation and my security is in my Heavenly Father, that He loves me and He accepts me. So I don't have to do all these things to try to win everybody's approval. I don't have to follow the crowd. I don't have to try to fit in when I have a security of who I am in Christ, because I am loved and accepted by the one who matters most.
Amen. That's good ministry, Pastor Jason. But what about the inner city youth? who, you know, his skin is so thick, and I know that you've dealt with these kind of teenagers, that this can't even penetrate it because there ain't no food in the fridge. They've been evicted. They're living in shelters. They're hungry. Their friends at school are looking at them, or not friends, as you're an outsider. You can't come into this circle. It's the love of God, the word of God, that these kids need. They need that kind of seed. They need that kind of, but can you just kind of discuss a few minutes? What would you tell an inner city youth how to grasp and allow this seed to penetrate into the soil of their hearts? How do you do that? I mean, I'm just trying to keep it real.
Right, right.
Because this is what I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. You know, all of this is good in theory, mm-hmm. but I'm hungry. Mm-hmm. My mother, I haven't seen my mother in a week. Mm-hmm. I have little brothers and sisters that are hungry. What do we do?
Right. Yeah. And I know, you know, a lot of us, you know, it's one thing to view God, you know, when we talk about a Heavenly Father, I mean, that makes some people cringe based on their earthly
experience.
Father. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, they may not have a father at all in the home.
Right.
Or they might have a father that is in the home that's not in the home, so to speak. You know, you can have an absentee dad that is there physically, but he's not there emotionally or spiritually. And that's a challenge for a lot of young people, that they're missing an earthly father's love. And unfortunately, the enemy, you know, capitalizes on that and uses that to really twist our viewpoint of God and being able to receive anything from a heavenly father based on the negative experiences that we've had with our earthly father.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something that God really has to help and do a supernatural healing in their heart in order for them to see past that the polluted version of what a father is or what he isn't. So you really have to see God in a whole new way, not based on, you know, how we view everything else as far as our earthly father is concerned. So I know God is a God that cares about all of our needs, not just our spiritual needs. You know, he is there to help us through our day. You know, a lot of times we think, you know, these teenagers, oh, they think that little thing is so important to them. Well, to them, that is the biggest thing they've ever experienced, and their world is caving in based on what they're walking through, based on where they are emotionally. And it's very important that we don't ever belittle them or belittle their concerns or what they're struggling with, whether it's family problems or, you know, their dad not saying that he loves them or their mom not, you know, giving them a hug or whatever. And again, we try to totem pole sometimes. Well, I experienced this, or I was abused, and, you know, mm-hmm. you need to grow up and don't worry about that. Well, you need to be a little more sensitive, because, like I said, what they're experiencing, what they're dealing with could be the most dramatic thing that they've ever walked through. And you need to be someone that can be used to God to help them through their healing process and help them put their focus on God and not be focused on the, you know, the hurts and the pains that the enemy wants them to focus on.
Okay, so who's your daddy? Galatians 4:6, who I am in Jesus, the affirmations of the word of God, that you're going to replace all that pain, all those experiences with the word of God. Okay, so you were at I am a child of God.
Yeah, I mean, because I think my heart and Heidi's heart, you know, with reaching out to these young people, I mean, our key thing, if you're going to wrap it up, would be, man, we want to expose the lies of the enemy.
Woo!
And replace it with God's powerful truth. So
replacing
the lies of the enemy and, exposing the lies of the enemy and replacing it with God's powerful truth is so vital. And that's where we get it. We get it from the Word of God. So, I mean, we go on down, and these are based on the Word of God. And I'm a child of God, John 1:12. I am Jesus' friend, John 15:14. I'm a joint heir with Jesus, sharing his inheritance with him, Romans 8:17. I am united with God and one spirit with him, 1 Corinthians 6:17. I am a temple of God. His spirit and his life live in me, 1 Corinthians 6:19. I am a member of Christ's body, 1 Corinthians 12:27. I am a saint, Ephesians 1:1. And these are new creation principles. You can find these on the internet. You can find these on our website. These are based on God's scripture, based on what he says about us. And we need to begin to not just read these, but believe these. I am redeemed and forgiven, Colossians 1:14.
Okay, I just got to check in my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I am a saint.
Mm-hmm.
What about the youth that have done something wrong. They might have, you know, jacked somebody, mm-hmm. broken a house, or sold car parts, or, and they can't forgive themselves.
Yeah.
And here Ephesians 1:1 is saying, I am a saint.
Mm-hmm.
And then Colossians 1:14 is saying, I am redeemed and forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
How... Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. Well, I think the thing is the Bible does tell us that our righteousness is filthy rags.
Yes.
So we got nothing to offer.
But through Jesus.
We have nothing to offer. Yeah. But the Bible also tells us that by the blood of Jesus, we've been washed, we've been clean, that we're no longer all those things that we've done. We're not defined by our past. But that's why Jesus went to the cross. That's the blood of Jesus that washes us clean, makes us white as snow. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and he is just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Thank you, Jesus.
And that's how we can be called a saint, because of what Jesus did, not of ourselves. Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us, you know, it's not of ourselves, lest anyone boast. Man, it's by the grace of God. So we better definitely check ourselves and not try to take any credit for what Jesus has done.
Amen. And then it says, I am complete in Jesus Christ, Colossians 2:10.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, so we have a ton of these. You know, I am free from condemnation, and that is a big deal, the Romans 8:1. So many of us live in condemnation
Can't
and shame and guilt.
Yes.
The enemy just wants to rub our face in it. But man, that is not God's heart. The Holy Spirit brings conviction, not condemnation. And people need to understand the difference between condemnation and conviction. That condemnation is what the enemy, and sometimes even ourselves, we put ourselves down and we say there's no hope, we're worthless, you know, we're always going to be stuck in this sin. But the Holy Spirit brings conviction. The conviction is, man, I've done wrong, I need to repent, I'm going to turn to God so I can be forgiven and start fresh. And that's what God's in the business of doing. That 2 Corinthians 5:17, it tells us, man, I'm a new creation because I'm in Christ. The old things have passed away, new things come. And we need to walk in the authority that Jesus has given us, walk in the truth. It's the truth that sets us free. So we need to know what God's word says. It's pretty sad when you look at the temptation of Jesus, that Satan was using scripture verses. He was twisting things. And I wonder, does Satan know more of the word of God than a lot of the believers do? That's a sad thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that like to debate that are involved in religion and stuff that aren't even Christians, that can quote a lot more scriptures than a lot of believers that I know. And that should put us in check to say, you know what? The Bible itself says, I've hidden God's word in my heart, so I won't sin against him.
Yes.
You know, it's a light to our path. We need to know that is truth, that's God's love letter to us, that's the authority, that when Jesus was facing those temptations, that's how he conquered temptation. He was quoting the word of God, and we need to learn to pray the word of God.
Amen.
And repeat the word of God and believe the word of God. That's who God's called us to be. He says, I am chosen of God, holy and dearly loved. Colossians 3:12. I am established, anointed, and sealed by God. 2 Corinthians 1:21. I do not have a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. I am God's co-worker. 2 Corinthians 6:1. I am seated in heavenly places with Christ. Ephesians 2:6. I have direct access to God. Ephesians 2:18. I am chosen to bear fruit, John 14:16. Can you imagine if we started each day starting to quote these verses, looking in the mirror and telling us, instead of, you know, being all insecure and saying, oh, I'm too fat, or I'm too skinny, or mm-hmm. I don't like this about me. What if we started saying what God says about us? What if we started believing the truth? We started exposing the lies of the enemy and replacing it with God's truth of who we are, what we're called to do.
Well, Pastor, you know, Jesus said that he didn't come to condemn the world, that he came to save us.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about condemnation and conviction. Condemnation doesn't bring hope,
mm-hmm.
but conviction brings a change
mm-hmm.
and repentance. The Holy Spirit convicts us so that we can turn.
Mm-hmm.
There's a turning point. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
No pun intended.
Shout out. All right.
To change. Amen. It says, I do not have a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Do you find that a lot of teenagers are dealing with that they have a spirit of fear?
Yeah.
And what about the suicide rate among our teens, Pastor?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, how my son said what was a problem when he graduated was the relationships of the teens. The guys would actually beat up the girlfriends.
Mm.
In the broad daylight, in the hallways, kids walking like it's nothing,
mm-hmm.
because they're angry,
mm-hmm.
and they don't know how to deal with any type of given situation, so they choose violence.
Mm-hmm.
Have you dealt with that? I mean, that all comes out of a spirit of fear.
Yeah.
Feeling powerless and not having a sound mind.
Right, right. And even the fact of just feeling powerless, that's kind of one of the main connections you hear with those that are struggling with the cutting issue. A lot of people that they're like, man, I can't control what's going on. I can't control the pain that I'm feeling, whatever. But then it's a weird flip in their mind of, well, this is something that I can control. This is some pain that I have control over. And it's a weird thing, again, that the enemy used. And obviously it's based on, you know, what the enemy is trying to do in their life. You see that? I mean, with Elijah, when he was the prophets of Baal, they were cutting themselves. You know, you see the demon,
yeah.
You know, demon-possessed guy. In the Gospels, he was cutting himself. So self-mutilation is obviously not the heart of God. So obviously there are some things that, you know, obviously there's some people that are just doing it for attention, you know, and but there are some people that have some serious struggles going on that they are.
Well, you know, I had a person tell me that they did it so they could feel because they were numb.
Mm-hmm.
That pain had just numbed them,
yeah.
That they couldn't feel anything,
mm-hmm.
but they wanted to feel, and so they started cutting themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's, you know, it's horrible, you know, the things that the enemy has opened up a door to because of pain, because of feeling powerless, and of course, because of fear. I love these affirmations. Okay, I am God's co-worker, Pastor. I'm backing up a little bit because I want you to talk about that.
You know, I feel like a lot of people sometimes have a misunderstanding of what God is and what he's about. There's a Bible verse that talks about, if you by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And sometimes we get the concept of, oh, it's all God. He's all powerful. He's going to take care of everything. I'm just, you know, I'm letting him do whatever he wants to do. So we put it all off on him. And then some do the other flip side of it. And we're like, you know, I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to do this. I'm in charge. You know, I'm the man or I'm the woman. I got my stuff together. And that's not the way God created. God created a relationship. So that verse that I was just referring to, that if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body. So it's a relationship. God wants you to do it, but he wants you to do it through the power of his Holy Spirit. You know, and the Old Testament even talks about it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. So he's called us to work in relationship with him. And that's the whole thing about Christianity. It is about a relationship with God. It is that Mark 12:30, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. We need to understand this is about walking with God, about knowing his heart. There's a thing that God showed me a long time ago, and I kind of called the cycle of love. And because I was kind of struggling with the whole, you know, quiet time and relationship with God and stuff. And basically, it was just a 3-point cycle that started off with spending time with God. It starts with spending time with God. And sometimes we don't feel like it, but we do that. We spend time with God. But I'm telling you, once you spend time with God, you get to know God. And once you get to know God, you fall in love with God. And the more you love God, the more time you want to spend with him, the more time you spend with him, the more you get to know him, the more you get to know him, the more you love him. And it's just a cycle that grows. I mean, to know God is to love God. So the more you get to know him and his heart, and that the Father does know best, and he does have the right things in store for you, you begin to trust him and love him more and spend time with him more and get to know him more. And again, that cycle just grows and grows. And that's the relationship that we all need to have with God, instead of, oh, I got to do my 5-minute quiet time today. I got to be spiritual. You know, oh, I got to stop sinning. Because you know what? I think the enemy is just as happy if we were living in full-fledged sinful lifestyle and embracing or if we were somebody that's a Christian that's just focused on, okay, I'm not going to sin. Okay, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. And we're so focused on not sinning that we still, the purpose is defeated. We're still not having fellowship with God. We're still not being a worshiper. We're still not walking in God's authority and his anointing and his purpose he has for us, because we're so focused on not giving sin. So I think the enemy would be just as happy, because the point happens regardless if we're living completely in sin.
Well, it sounds like you're talking to those Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes.
Yeah, those Sadducees. Yeah, right.
But, you know, that's really good. I am seated in heavenly places with Christ. You know, that's Ephesians 2 and 6. It kind of reminds me of seated. I'm resting.
Mm.
I am resting in a heavenly place with Christ. All the circumstances, all the things that's going around at school or at home or whatever, that I can sit down in a heavenly place with Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
I love that scripture.
Yeah.
And then I have direct access to God. You know, have you had youth come to you and tell you about other religions and you know, they want to worship God this way, you know, I'm going to meditate or I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that or that. And, you know, it's not really having direct access to God. Why do so many students or even Christians think that they can't have direct access? Because isn't that what Jesus did for us? At Calvary, he granted us direct access to the Father.
Yeah.
Through his precious blood?
Well, you even think, even back in the Old Testament, I mean, the people of God there, they were being offered access to God, and they were refusing it. And they're like, no, no, Moses, we want you to be the middleman. We want you to be the mediator. And there's lots of different reasons, I think, where a lot of us, whether it's insecurities or fear of our sin, you know, like the disciple says, you know, woe is me, I'm, you know, unclean, it talks about in Revelations, or, you know, when John's saying, you know, don't even look at me. You know, I got my issues. You know, I'm too sinful. You know, I'm not worthy, so to speak. So a lot of us, I think, kind of resist getting close to God because, you know, we're afraid of what's going to come. He's going to reject us or what's going to come to light. But that is one of the most amazing things that we have in Christianity is that we do have direct access to God.
Thank you,
that we
Jesus.
Don't have to go through somebody else. Or, you know, someone's not going to tell us what God is saying for us. Sure, people can speak into our lives or whatever, but we have to have that relationship with God. That's what he wants. We are created to have a relationship with him. Otherwise, we'd just be a bunch of robots doing this and that. He's created us with, you know, the purpose and destiny in our life, and we choose to follow him or we choose not to follow him. So he wants, you know, just like with my son, I don't want a robot that's going to, I love you, Daddy, I love you, Daddy. You know, I want him to choose to love me. I want him to choose to do things that he knows that, you know, that are going to encourage me and stuff like that. That's a relationship. That's the free will that God has given us. That's a really cool thing. Obviously, it can become a really bad thing when we choose to go our own way, but we have to submit to God and help us, you know, in our weakness, so we rely on him for strength.
Amen. I am chosen to bear fruit.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of times, yeah, John 15:16 talks about that. I think a lot of times, man, we get into a place where we kind of become complacent. And, you know, well, there's not much to show for our life. We get complacent. We get in our little busy lifestyles, and we can make excuses left and right. How busy are we? Don't have time to do this or that. But it's one of those things, man, that the good can become the enemy of the God stuff. You know, there's great things that Jesus could have done, but he saw and did what he saw the Father saying and doing.
Amen.
And we got to follow after suit,
yes,
just like that, you know.
Yes.
So we need to look at our schedule. We need to look at where we spend our time and our money and our energy and saying, is this where God wants me? Is this what I'm supposed to be doing? And we need to reevaluate that and allow the Holy Spirit to readjust our schedule where we are bearing fruit for him. So,
but Pastor Jason, what about these youths that are looking at millionaires or people that are wealthy or people that have made it in corporate America or made it in the rap or in the music industry or film or whatever, and they're saying, well, they've made it, you know, they're bearing fruit. But so many people, you know, when they reach that point, they don't reach back to mentor. They don't plant seeds of righteousness there. And so if you don't, that's not really fruit. Okay, so you made it.
Mm-hmm.
But where's the fruit that you're mentoring and you're engaging and encompassing someone else and bringing them into a place where they can be prosperous in kingdom building? Because I look at everything now. Now, every success, I ask people, how is that producing the kingdom of God?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one thing we have to look at when we're looking at fruit, man, is it real fruit? Is it lasting fruit or is it rotten fruit?
So you have to define fruit. So will you do that for us, Pastor?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you're looking at fruit, you're looking, because we know the fruit of the Spirit, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, all those things. That is fruit that the Holy Spirit is in our life.
Yes.
So as far as that goes, we need to evaluate ourselves and say, man, is there love in my life? Is there this, that, and that, and the other? And if it's not, man, Holy Spirit, I want to decrease. That whole prayer,
yes,
of John, God, I must decrease so you can increase.
Amen.
I want more of you, more of you and less of me. I want to be fruitful. I want your life, the fruit that comes out of my mouth, to be your words, to be speaking truth, to be speaking life. You know, we know the tongue, the Bible warns us that the life and death can come out of the tongue. And we have to have that as being speaking fruitful stuff that's going to grow and that's going to be evident and people are refreshed by it. That's what one thing that fruit does, man. Fruit is something that people grow from. People that is something that is nourishing to them, and it builds them, helps them grow to who they're supposed to be. So that means not just in the physical, but in the spiritual. So I've chosen to bear fruit. God's talking about. So we
in the parable that says, "You shall know the true, the tree by the fruit,
right,
that it bears."
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes on to tell you, what kind of fruit comes from that tree.
Yeah.
And then the Bible also says that you shall know the Spirit by the Spirit, and we try the Spirit by the Spirit of God. And so, when we get into the Word, and because, like you said, Satan knew the Word, and he distorted it for his own purposes. How many people do that?
Right.
Even if you don't realize you're doing it,
mm-hmm.
The outcome is still the same. It becomes sinful.
Yeah.
So we have to establish the Word, and we have to define the word fruit, because fruit don't mean the same thing to everybody.
Right.
So we have to stand on the word of God. Mm-hmm. Amen. I love that.
Definitely.
And the fact that the scripture is saying, I am chosen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To bear fruit. I mean, that's a sense of belonging.
Yeah.
That so many of our youth, our teens, they want it so bad. They want to belong. Mm-hmm. Like you said earlier, please quote this scripture, Pastor, 1 Peter 2:5. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Where it talks about, I am one of God's living stones being built up in Christ as a spiritual house. That's based on 1 Peter 2:5.
Yes.
Goes on to say in 2 Peter 1:4, I have been given exceedingly great and precious promises by God, which I share in his nature. And Hebrews 13:5 says, I can always know the presence of God because he never leaves me. God works in me to help me to do the things that he wants me to do, Philippians 2:13. And James 1:5 tells us, I can ask God for wisdom, and he will give it to me when I need it. And I think that's a lot of people. A lot of people have needs, but yet we're too prideful or too busy to stop and ask. But God is there. He is there for us, and we need to rely on him. We need to enter into a deeper relationship with him and seek him like never before. We need to have times of worship where we're just seeking God's face, whether it's in the car or home alone or whatever it is, where you're setting time aside to get in and soak in the presence of God and receive what he has for you.
Yes, yes.
The Bible talks about in Acts 3:19 that times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. And we need to get in God's presence.
Ooh,
and
we
allow
have
him
church
to refresh
now.
Us.
Yes, yes.
We need to be refreshed by his presence, because everything in this world, man, is pulling us down. Teenagers are seeing an average of 14,000 sexual images. They are being bombarded by the enemy, by the culture, by the media, to pull them down and to separate them from what God has for them. So it's important that we get in God's presence, that we soak in his presence, that we have a true relationship with him, and we let him speak life into us. And we, again, like we've been talking about with these new creation principles, confessions of who I am in Christ, that we repeat what God is saying about us, and we walk in that truth.
Yes. Now, we've been talking about youth ministry with Pastor Jason Williams of Turning Point Church. And even though we're talking about the youth, of course, the Word of God applies to all that will engage, embrace it, plant it, see it reproduce, and bear much fruit. Pastor, would you please pray us out?
Mm-hmm, definitely. Father God, I just pray for every person that's listening right now. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just come and soften their heart, God, to receive everything that you have for them. God, I pray that they would be sensitive to your voice.
Thank you, Jesus.
God, I pray that they would expose the lies of the enemy and replace it with your powerful truth. God, I pray that they would, God, like your word tells us, God, they would walk in that spiritual authority, God, where you tell us, God, to take every thought captive to the beats of Christ.
Thank you.
God, I pray when they would start to see things that are coming from the enemy or from other people or even themselves that is not lined up with what you were saying, God, they would spot that lie and say, no, I refuse to believe that. I rebuke that, and I choose to believe what God's word says, what God says about me and who I am and what he's called me to do, and I choose to walk out my destiny. And Father God, I just pray that everybody, God, would have a stirring in their heart, God, to get into your presence and to seek your face, God. God, I pray that you would draw them close. God, your word says in James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. God, I thank you for that promise. And God, I pray that people have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness and to know you more. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Thank you, Pastor Jason Williams of Ignite Ministries. Thank you, audience. This time and next time, stay connected to the true vine, which is Jesus.
Thank you for listening. For more information on today's program, you can go to www.theinterviews.com. This program brought to you by Vine Life Ministries.